Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah and Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
A heartbreaking loss for the Jaguars in Indianapolis in week four in overtime. Final score, Colts 16, Jaguars 13. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville at the HannityAutos.com studio. Fred Taylor is with us on the line tonight from South Florida. This one stings, certainly the missed opportunities at the end, the two missed field goals, one at the near the end of regulation, one in overtime, sets up Vinatieri from short range to win it. And now six in a row lost to the Colts, Fred.
Hey, JP, what's going on, man?
Hey, man.
Mike, how are you guys doing today? Hey, I'm exhausted, fellas. Watching games like that, those just tire you out. I mean, I feel like I was out there playing almost. But got to keep pushing, got to keep grinding, man. Going to reach Mount Everest someday. Got to make the plays when you're supposed to make them. That's the NFL bottom line.
Yeah, it was a game where they outgained the Colts, the Jags hit by over 100 yards. They won the time of possession. They won the turnover battle 2-0. Fred, few key things. Couldn't convert some red zone opportunities into touchdowns in the first half. Obviously, the missed field goals when you had a couple of game-winning opportunities, but 13 penalties for 92 yards, including five of them on the Colts' one-touchdown drive in the first half. The Jags did everything they could in that department to just shoot themselves in the foot all day long.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Mike. Other than those penalties and the two missed field goals there, I mean, I thought it was a solid game from a statistical standpoint. I mean, Blake looked great out there. TJ, you know, he ran hard downhill, got the tough yards, his first, the 100-yard game there. Getting the tight ends involved, the receivers, I mean, just across the board, the defense was hustling to that one big play to Frank Gore right there at the end. I mean, you do everything right. With the exception of the penalties, those really hurt, especially in the second quarter there. You can't win games doing that, but to say the effort, you want to give your guys credit for the effort and the display that they did leave on the field. But, you know, bottom line is execution and finish, man. You got to do that as well as be disciplined. And it's just not an easy game. You know, just name three things that you got to do with a host of, you know, multiple other things that you got to do right. Well, it's football, man. That's why you love it. It's the ups and downs, and it's about, you know, just sticking in there and keep chipping away, keep grinding.
Jaguars postgame, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. We're awaiting the first word with head coach Gus Bradley in Indianapolis. The Jags fall in overtime in week four. 16-13 is the final. The Colts are now 2-2. The Jags fall to 1-3, and they'll head to Tampa next week. Offensively today, you said Blake, you know, played pretty well. Certainly the first half, the statistics at the end, 28 of 50 passing, 298, a touchdown today, a rating of just over 80. But there were times where he got the team in position for a chance at those game-winning field goals, or what could have been game-winning field goals.
You know, I like a lot what he did today. I mean, he threw the deep ball pretty good. You know, he moved it all around. He had some pressure throws that he ended up making. I mean, the effort, one big third, I think it was 3rd and 5. You know, I mean, the guy was running so hard, like he was just digging, trying to get there, as well as in overtime. The play when he stumbled twice and even smiled at it. I mean, the effort you see from your quarterback, you can't ask for anything else. He didn't make the mistakes. You know, no turnovers for him, with the exception of the low snap. But, you know, that's a snap malfunction. You don't know who was at fault there. I thought he played a solid game. The receivers did well today. Didn't do enough to finish the game out to get the victory. They'll be a better team and they'll play better. And, they'll learn how to finish. It's all about the finish, the execution and the finish.
Yeah, Allen Hurns, tremendous day. 15 targets, 11 of those hauled in for 116 yards and a touchdown, and certainly had it going, JP.
Let's go to Indianapolis. Gus Bradley with Jeff Loggeman right now. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, a hard-fought game, opportunities there at the end of the game with a 53-yarder, and then in overtime with a 49-yard field goal, just didn't get them.
You know what? It was a great game. Great game to watch. Great game to be a part of. But, you know, I thought we made plays all over the field. And, you know, there's other plays that could be made along with those field goals. So we didn't. But a lot of things can be taken from this game.
The one thing that occurred that seemed to short-circuit some drives there, two things. One was red zone. You'd like to be able to get touchdowns instead of field goals. The other one being the number of penalties that either propel drives for the Colts or end the drives for you guys.
Sure, yeah, the number of penalties. I don't know the exact number, but I know it was a lot, and wrote that down during the game, that far too many. We have to clean that part up out of our game. I know other games we've had six or seven, but this time, you know, in double digits, and you can't have that in a game like this.
Injuries in the game, Paul Posluszny, Aaron Colvin, any status or any injuries to report on as far as those guys go?
No, I haven't had a chance to meet with them yet. But, again, lost some guys. But guys stood up, and Thurston Ambrister and Peyton again. And, you know, guys went in there and played very well.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with head coach Gus Bradley outside of the Jags locker room at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll take our first time out and come back with Jeff Lagerman inside the Jags locker room. Disappointed place today, I'm sure. The Jags fall in overtime, 16-13 to the division rival Colts. Jaguars postgame continues in a moment on Jaguars Radio. Jason Myers is with Jeff Lagerman in the Jaguars locker room. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Jason, two opportunities, one at the end of regulation, the other one in overtime. When the ball left your foot, from my position up in the booth, I felt like you hit him good. What did it feel like?
Yeah, they both felt good coming off. It's tough going to the open end with the window open up there, but yeah, it is, you know, one kind of left out on the right on me, and one kind of came back left on me.
What do you learn from these kicks today?
You know, I hit them both good, so, you know, I can't, you know, take away anything from that, but you know, let's get back to the drawing board this week and, you know, do my part next week in the win.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Yep, no worries.
Jason Myers with Jeff Lagerman in the Jags locker room. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor's on the line with us down in South Florida. Obviously a tough day, but, I mean, give him credit. He comes on and talks to Jeff anyway after a tough way to end it. But at some point, Fred, you got to start making kicks like that, right?
I mean, it's tough on the young guy, but, you know, this is the NFL. This isn't really a place, you know, to have throw pity parties or anything like that. You got to make them when you're supposed to make them. No excuses about it. Same thing goes with making the tackle, stopping Gore. Just across the board. I mean, it's the NFL. You're here to do your job. He'll bounce back. He has a strong leg. He's young. You know, he has to have a short memory. Get it out of his mind and get ready to the next one. I do love the optimism, and he said that he want to do his part on the win next week. So you got to love the spirit, yet you try your best to, you know, not necessarily throw the pity party. I mean, I've done it for a long time, JP,
sure.
So I guess I have a different approach on it. I've seen it all. Even with my fumbles, I wanted people to jump me. But he'll bounce back is what I'm trying to say.
Jeff Lagerman standing by with Jonathan Cyprian, who had a good day on defense. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Jonathan, certainly a frustrating day whenever you lose to a division opponent and hold them to 16 points. Tough one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. You know, it's a division that we want to own, so we have to win these games, and this was a tough one to lose, of course.
What was the mindset like coming out of the locker room all of a sudden, or going in the locker room today, and all of a sudden you find out the reports are that Andrew Luck is not going to play and you're going to see Matt Hasselbeck?
You know, just understanding, you know, that they are using a backup quarterback, but then again, he's a veteran. Try to use the tips that you know about him. We did get to see him a couple of times throughout the years of me playing him. So, you know, just go out there and know that we just have to attack.
You guys have a young kicker in Jason Myers that had a couple misses today. How does the locker room react to that? He seemed to hit him good. They just didn't go through.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he seemed to hit him good, but they didn't go through. Sometimes, you know, that happens. He knows I'm sure he can make those. So, you know, we're just going to rely on him and trust him for the future to make the ones he knows he can make.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan.
Jonathan Cyprian with Jeff Lagerman in the Jaguars locker room. Follow the Jags to London this season. They'll take on the Bills at Wembley Sunday, October 25th. Packages include once-in-a-lifetime experiences and much, much more. Visit NFLOnLocation.com or call 866-890-1799 to speak to a travel expert today. We'll come back in a moment with the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions for Fred Taylor. Final score, an overtime loss for the Jags. 16-13 the final. Indy over Jacksonville at Lucas Oil Stadium. More Jaguars postgame in a moment on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score 16-13. Colts over the Jags in overtime at Lucas Oil Stadium. JP Shattuck, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor with us on the line tonight down in South Florida. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores right on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. And it's time now, Fred, for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Fred, number one, do you stick with Jason Myers as the kicker?
JP, I think you stick with him. You go for it.
Easy enough.
All right, simple as that. All right, Fred, 13 penalties today for 92 yards. Where do you point the finger of blame when you have that many penalties team-wide?
You know, it's the individual, Mike. It's individual play. Some penalties happen through aggression. Others happen through bonehead, you know, not really focusing. There were a few out there today. So it's a combination of things. It's all on the individual. They have to be a lot more focused and a lot disciplined in their play.
And finally, the Jags were blown out last week in New England. A very tight and overtime loss today in Indy. Which is tougher to recover from, the blowout loss or a tight loss to a division rival?
JP, I like to say a blowout loss. These tight losses, division rival, they're frustrating. I mean, you had them. It's an away game. Jeez. I'd rather get blown out than to get beat by just a couple points.
There you go. The Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game for Fred Taylor after the Jags fall in overtime in Indianapolis. First overtime game for the Jags since 2012, when the Jags had three overtime games and lost all three of those that season. That seems like a long time ago. But, you know, this was one today, Fred, where the offense had some spots. They, like you said, they outgained the Colts today and did a lot of good things offensively. The penalties hurt on the defensive side at key times, of course, and then the missed field goals at the end just kind of combined for a strange day. It started with a strange day with Luck. At the end of the week, you know, was he going to play? Was he not? This morning it was finally came out. It was just kind of a strange week altogether, it seemed like, Fred.
Yeah, it was for me too, not knowing if he would play or not. You know, wondering what our team's chances would be in the matchup. Because I know we had a few guys banged up due to injuries as well. Overall, though, JP, I like the aggressiveness that we came out with. We did come out with some energy. I thought the effort was very high. The energy was high. The aggressiveness in the play calling, from the play action shots, the deep ball shots, the being able to be multidimensional on offense. I thought it was some pretty good balance there. Again, Blake did well. Seeing Jonathan Cyprian return, he did well. Hearns did well. Yeldon did well. The tight ends got involved. I mean, so the defense finally got some turnovers there. One there was actually 10 points off turnover because the Colts were there at the 5 or 6 yard lines, and we stopped them from potential field goal. So that's 7 on the first fumble, and then 3 there. So I mean, it's a lot of good things to point out. It sucks because you left it all out on the field, and you came up short by just a yard. And that's football. It's a game of inches that ultimately amounts to yards, and they all count at the very end of the day.
Fred, one issue the Jags have had consistently this year, with the exception of last week, and they got a couple of touchdowns last week in the second half, but they were already down 30-3 when they got the first one. So in games that were in doubt, they haven't scored, with the exception of a field goal earlier this year in the second half. They were shut out again today. What do you see happening differently from the first half to the second half, if anything, with the Jags that's causing their offense to kind of go into a funk in the second half?
You know, I think it's a case when you just throw it out, just throwing it out there, throwing everything on the board. It's either the other team making the adjustments, and or we're not making adjustments. You know, you can look at it either way. I mean, they play well in the first half, then you get in the second half and you sputter. I don't think they're playing conservative. The play calling looks the same to me. I'm not sure if the defense are just, you know, they're adjusting what they're doing from our offensive perspective, and then vice versa when our defense is out there. But our defense is playing great. They're on the field quite some time, but I think they're playing solid. Mike, you know, going back to the penalty question you asked, man, you know, just going back looking at all of the games, we've had some very severe penalties and key moments, you know, that actually hurt the team. These are a little bit overshadowed today because of the big field goals. I think the field goals are overshadowing the whole penalty piece. But we had some penalties in here that could have really did a lot of bad, big damage to us. And I remember a few other games early in the year, some penalties pushing us back out of position here and there. So we got to, you know, try to play with our heads on, play a little smarter. And I'm sure all the guys will say the same thing. But we got to get the penalties down and find a way to finish.
We'll come back in a moment with the highlights from today's game. We'll also a little later have a final EverBank stats check. Final score in Indy in Week 4, an overtime loss for the Jags. 16-13, the final. Indianapolis is now 2-2. The Jags fall to 1-3. Jaguars postgame continues in a moment on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score at Indy, 16-13. The Colts, an overtime winner over the Jags. A Vinatieri field goal from 27, the deciding score. Let's take a look and listen to the highlights from tonight's game. We will include the Bud Light play of the game as well. Well, the Jags start with a defensive highlight today. Dan Skuda forces a fumble in the second quarter. The Jaguars get a turnover. They haven't had many on defense this year.
They give it to Robinson running left. Boy, the Jaguars did a great job. And fly. The ball is on the ground. The ball is on the ground. Looks like Jonathan Cyprian has fallen on it. There is a flag thrown in at the end, too, but the ball came out, and it is Jacksonville football.
It was 3-3 at that point, by the way, and the Jags got the ball, and then after getting the turnover, drove the field, ended it up with a Bortles to Hearns 8-yard touchdown.
Under center is Bortles. Receivers to either side. Yeldon in the running back. Two tight end set here. Play fake. He looks to the end zone. Pump fakes. Nothing there. Now rolls to the right. Now fires into the end zone. Diving attempt by Allen Hearns. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Bortles to Hearns for the touchdown, and Jacksonville has taken the lead.
Jags led 10-3. The ensuing drive, though, was that defensive penalty drive. We counted 5 defensive penalties on that drive. A couple of pass interferences. The Clemens late hit. The face mask, illegal substitution. It ended up with Hasselbeck to Fleener, a couple of yards away for another score. This one tied the game.
Second down and goal from the 2-yard line. Two tight ends at I formation, Gore the back. Play fake, rolling right is Hasselbeck. Fires it into the end zone. That is caught for the touchdown. He kind of sidearmed it in there to his tight end, Kobe Fleener. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
The Jags, though, drove down the field 6 minutes on the next drive. 14 plays, ate up almost all the clock in the end of the second quarter. Myers hit a 32-yard field goal to give the Jags a 13-10 lead going into the halftime locker room. Vinatieri kicked a field goal in the third quarter, tied it up 13-13. Their next possession, the Jags defense stood tall again. Josh Evans forces a fumble.
Gives to Gore. Gore picks his way. There's a flag now. The ball is out. The ball is out and is into the end zone, and it is recovered by the Jaguars. Now let's see what the penalty's about. Surely he can't nullify another terrific play. Let's see what the penalty is about.
You just hope it's not the defense lining up offsides. You hope it's an illegal procedure or formation by the Colts.
We illegal talked formation about offense, number 76, was uncovered on the end of the line. That penalty is declined. Jacksonville recovered the ball in the end zone for a touchback. The It's their ball on the 20-yard line, first down.
Big play there. That is the Bud Light play of the game. Brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. It turned away the Colts right at the doorstep. The Jags offense, though, couldn't do anything on the other side. But the Jags had the chance in the last minute of the game. They got the ball back, drove down to get into field goal range, at least you thought, for Jason Myers from 53 yards for a chance to win it.
53 yards from the right half. Kicks it up. Plenty of distance. He missed it to the right.
Missed it right. We go to overtime, tied at 13. Jags won the toss, five plays and punt. But Indy goes three and out, so the Jags have a chance, and they get into field goal range again. Myers this time from 48 yards to try to win it for a second time.
48-yarder from just inside the left hash. For the win, Myers hits it. He missed.
He missed that one left.
Jason Myers missed from 48 yards to win it for the Jaguars in overtime.
Set up a short field for the Colts. They didn't have to get far. They ended up getting further than they thought they would have to. Vinatieri set up from 27 yards away for the game winner.
Matt Overton is the snapper for the Colts. A 27-yarder to win the game. It is down. And the Colts have beaten the Jaguars in overtime, 16-13.
And the Colts
knocked it right through.
Division win streak continues on.
Vinatieri with the game winner. He's done that a couple dozen times in his career. Does it again today. 16-13, the final in overtime. Colts over the Jaguars. The Colts are now 2-2. Jaguars fall to 1-3. The Jags get to travel to Tampa Bay next Sunday to face the Buccaneers. We'll come back in a moment. An Everbank final stats check after the Jags fall in week four. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah and Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville, Fred Taylor on the line with us down in South Florida as the Jags fall in week four in overtime. 16-13, the Colts are now 2-2, and in first place, the Jags fall to 1-3 with the loss. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. They're the official waste provider of the Jags and have been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. It's time now for an Everbank final stats check. We start off, Fred, with the team stats in this game. The Jags outgained the Colts today, 431-326. That includes 142 yards on the ground today. T.J. Yeldon was kept powering away to really have a fine day at the end of it. 289 yards through the air. The penalties, we've mentioned that number. 13 accepted penalties for 92 yards against the Jags. A handful of those on that one defensive drive that ended in a touchdown in the first half. But penalties at key times. And that's not often where you outgain a team on the ground like that, but this is a strange ending of the game. And just the stats didn't go the right way.
You outgained a team by over 100 yards. You win time of possession, and you win the turnover battle by two, and you still come up short. That is a rarity. Blake Bortles, 298 on 28 of 50 passing, had the one touchdown, did not throw an interception today. T.J. Yeldon, his first 100-yard game as a pro, 22 for 105 yards, nothing else really to speak of on the ground, although Blake Bortles did scramble four times for 31 yards. Allen Hurns, 15 targets. He caught 11 of them for 116 and a touchdown. Allen Robinson only caught four of his 12 targets for 80 yards, and you wonder on a couple of them, the deep pass that he caught, if he runs through it, does he walk into the end zone, or is he able to do that? And then a second one where he seemed to, instead of keeping running through the ball, he stopped and elected to jump up with one hand and try to catch it. It looked like that ball may have been there as well. So it could have been a huge day for Blake Bortles hooking up with Allen Robinson as far as that goes. And for the Colts, offensively, Hasselbeck, 30 out of 47, 282, and a touchdown, did not throw a pick. Frank Gore, tough sledding, 17 carries, 53 yards, but the big run in overtime there to help set things up. And Kobe Fleener, 9 catches, 83 yards. He's the guy that hurt the Jags the most through the air and caught the touchdown as well.
Fred, what stands out the most to you today, statistically?
Statistically, for me, JP, the penalties, man. The penalties. You can't, have that many penalties and expect to win. Something has to be becoming, the determining factor and the end result of the score. And it wasn't, moving the ball. They moved the ball great. You know, they executed great. The yards per play, 5.5 to 4.4. The rushing, twice as many rush yards as the Colts. Twice the average per carry than the Colts, 5.1 to 2.5. So, you go back, the turnovers, they won the turnover battle. So you go back and you look at all the different statistical columns, and only one jumps out. It's the penalties. Unfortunately, the kicking doesn't go under the penalty category as points, but the penalties from statistical point for me is what jumps out.
Yeah, and a couple of guys I wanted to note defensively as well. Jonathan Cyprian, I thought, made a lot of tackles, and not just tackles, but impactful tackles. Right, Fred, in short of the sticks on a couple of open field plays, 11 solos, 3 assists. And Josh Evans coming off the bench, Fred. All right, he forces the fumble, which is, I think, the biggest play in the game. And then the very next possession for the Colts, they've got a short third down and 3, and Philip Dorsett catches the ball with no one around him. Evans comes up and stops him a yard short of the first down, once again giving the Jags the opportunity to put this game away late. So Evans, I thought, you always talk about you have to be ready when your number is called. I thought Evans came in and played, made impactful, exceptional plays today.
Yeah, Mike, I agree. That's what they say. It's the next man up, the next man. You have to be ready. And that just goes to show the type of team that Dave and Gus in the front office, they're trying to build a team, not just a team, but a team with depth. A lot of guys have been in and out of the lineup. Guys come back. Some guys are out. Guys fill the void. They get out there and they play, and they're competitive. And Sundarek, he should be back here in a few weeks. Julius should be back in a few weeks. And more than just having these guys back, just the atmosphere is going to change. Because they, with the exception of the Patriots game, this game should have been a win, no doubt about it. And the record books is not going to ever show that. But this game should be a win. And at least the guys in the locker room can feel good about the effort that they put out there. And now be able to get some teammates back in the coming weeks. Just the whole energy and the vibe in the locker room should be high, and the guys should be motivated to get out there and close some of these games out.
Fred Taylor down in South Florida. More from Freddie T coming up. Mike Dempsey as well. We'll come back with the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. A disappointing result today, to say the least, in Indianapolis. An overtime loss to the Colts. 16-13. More Jaguars postgame in a moment on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score 16-13. Colts over the Jags in overtime in week 4. Jags fall to 1-3. The Colts are now 2-2 and in first place in the AFC South. It's time for the Safe Touch Security Player of the Game. A reminder of the voting procedure here. Mike, you and I get one vote. Fred, you get a vote and a half. If there's a tiebreaker, you always win. So, who wants to start today?
Let's go to Freddie.
Fred, how about you start today?
I would love to do the honors. This is a tough one for me today. Is one vote, can a group be one vote, or is it per player,
individual? It's a player by definition.
By definition.
Hey, if you want to bend the rules too, whatever. It's your world, Fred.
Hey, I won't do that. I won't take advantage. I'll go with Allen Hurns. I thought he did a marvelous job today, putting up those numbers, catching everything, throwing his way, running good routes, scoring a touchdown there. So I'm going to go with Hurns.
All right, we'll get to your honorable mention here in a minute. Then you know what? I'll go with Hurns too. 11 receptions, 116 yards, a touchdown, targeted 15 times. That's a pretty good day. And he's going through some stuff medically. He's been on the injury report with a thigh injury, had an ankle taped up. He battled through some stuff today to get that done, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to go unanimous here. And that's why we let Freddie go first in case he went another way. We didn't want to outvote you before you got a chance, Fred.
You guys are going to gang up on me then.
Well, we didn't want to have to. But 11 for 116 and a touch. And, time and again, making difficult catches as well as the routine ones. And, what a find this guy has been through a couple of seasons now.
No doubt.
Yeah, the quality of play he's displayed the last 2 years, the value, I mean, because he's cheap right now. But if he continues to play this way, he won't be cheap much longer. JP, if you don't mind.
No, go for it. Please.
The honorable mention. I mean, I just wanted to acknowledge the offense. I thought they did an excellent job with, you know, no turnovers, ball security. The Colts defense, they was out there swiping at the ball every single time. You know, I thought those guys did well. The running game got going. It was such great balance today, over 400 yards offense, as you mentioned earlier, getting the tight ends involved just in time for, you know, Julius to come back. So, I look upward. I look for some good things to happen from that group going forward.
You know what? For that matter, the Jags defense didn't do all that bad today. I mean, they
did great, too.
They forced two turnovers and forced three field goals. I mean,
yeah.
That's not too bad of a day defensively.
And you know what? The front four, they didn't blitz a lot, but they got some pressure on Hasselbeck.
Right.
I mean, they did some stunts and games and stuff like that. And, you know, to stay on the positive role, you know, Sundarek, hopefully he'll be back in some weeks to come, and they'll just get better on that side of the ball as well.
I think one thing we've seen, though, this team needs to send pressure. They need to send five and six guys because they're not getting home with four. And when they did, they affected Matt Hasselbeck today. You know, they got a few sacks, but, they caused him to throw some erratic passes as well. And, Fred, it just doesn't seem like right now they have much chance of getting home with their down four linemen.
You know, it's a bit, you know, this game was better, I guess I should have said that, with the front four in terms of them with some stunts and games and getting there, putting them off his mark a little. But they were effective with the five-man rush, you know, the dog blitz and not having to send two and putting guys on island. So I thought they did a pretty decent job of mixing some things up, although, you know, front four could apply more pressure. But they have improved, in my opinion, from the previous weeks with the down four guys.
We're doing the positive here because the next few days probably won't be as positive around these parts. So the Jags,
I mean, you can always go back and re-sign Josh Scobie, JP. I mean, how do you want to take it? I mean, the worst I think could happen is you beat the kicker up all week, you know, in the press. You know, but what does that change? You know, he's a young kid. He's going to go out there, and he's going to win some games, you know, and everyone's going to want to, you know, ride him all the way to the bank. So, you know, for me, I think there's a lot more positive that came out of this than negative. Didn't get the end result, you know, and a lot of fans will probably say, that Fred Taylor, he sure is one optimistic wacko. But at the end of the day, I think that's how you have to approach this game. It's such a long season. And getting down on yourself and feeling negative isn't going to change the outcome.
Well said, Fred. We'll come back in a moment and take a look at the injury report. A few Jaguars banged up today in the loss against the Indianapolis Colts. 16-13, the final in overtime. Colts win it in week four. More Jaguars postgame in a moment on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score in Indy, 16-13. The Colts have now won, six straight against the Jags. Last win for the Jags over the Colts was 2012, week three, and a final-minute touchdown then. That seems like a long, long time ago, and it is a long, long time ago. So the Jags fall today in overtime, 16-13, so missed opportunities at the end. Time for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Official update from the Jaguars on a few of the injured players today. Aaron Colvin with an aggravated shoulder. Looked like he fell awkwardly on it and was holding that left shoulder on the ground. James Sample, a shoulder contusion. And Paul Posluszny with an ankle sprain. All those guys were unable to finish the game due to those injuries, and more information available after further testing. Fred, I mean, injuries have been they're a topic for every team in the NFL, but certainly this Jaguars team has been banged up, especially in the secondary. That's two more defensive backs that all of a sudden are question marks heading into a very important game in Tampa this week, and that's the last thing you wanted to see was anything on the back end of this defense going down.
Yeah, that's true, JP. I think, timing is everything, even more so in the NFL. It doesn't get any easier, but it is all about opportunity and timing. And luckily for the defense, They're facing a rookie quarterback who just threw four big picks today. Yeah, he's not playing great. And this is the best time to get guys out there with not as much experience as the guys that are banged up. Allow those guys the opportunity to try and rest up, heal up, and get ready, you know, for the stretch of the season.
You know, and Fred, you're right. They can come back. They can bounce back. But I think this is one they're going to look back on and say, they couldn't have let this one get away. You have a nearly 41-year-old quarterback out there, and you can talk about injuries. I think you'd trade, honestly, some of the players the Jags had out if you knew Andrew Luck wasn't going to play for the Colts. Most weeks, you've got to take advantage of that, and they simply couldn't get it done today, no matter what the reasons.
Right, right, Mike. I do agree with you. You have to win the ones that the matchups, you know, call for. And this particular matchup today, I thought it was pretty even once Luck was out, even with the guys that we had out there from a defensive standpoint, because he means so much to their team. And our defense played great. You know, didn't get it done at the very end of it. So you have to try your best to take advantage of those matchups that, you know, you're supposed to win. So this week coming up, it looks on the up and up, though. I like this matchup for our defense. Regardless of who's in there, because Jameis, like I say, he's not playing great. Our run defense is stout. You know, those guys aren't giving up any yardage. And as long as they can go in there and make Jameis, you know, beat them through the air, they have a shot. We have a shot.
There's the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We'll come back, Fred, and preview that Jaguars-Bucks game next week in Tampa. Final score in week four, 16-13. Colts a winner in overtime over the Jags. One more segment left with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey in Jacksonville. Fred Taylor with us on the line down in South Florida. Jags fall in overtime 16-13 to the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are 2-2. The Jags fall to 1-3. But as you said, Fred, next week they're in Tampa against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jameis Winston had a horrible day today, and the Jags defense has been playing well in a few instances, played well today again for the most part. But you're going down to Tampa, and it's a game. Are there must-wins this early, Fred, even in week five? How does this work?
You know, I like to say they are, JP. You lose a big divisional game on the road, and that's two in a row now. So, I mean, the must-win part of it for me, is you want to try and erase that bad taste. You had one week where you were, you know, that game just got away, and then this week was a tough, tough, tough loss. So how do you erase that feeling? You go win. You have the must-win time.
And, Fred, I think, too, just the narrative all week is going to be bad. I mean, there are going to be a lot of Jag fans calling for a coaching change, quite frankly. And I know it's early in the season, and I don't expect one to come early in the season, but I think that's going to be the narrative. You've got 2,000 Jaguar fans making the trip to Tampa next week with the Bold City Brigade and the Teal Street Hooligans heading down there. And it's going to be a great atmosphere. But, boy, at this Bucs team, like you said, you got Jameis Winston, very turnover-prone. If you somehow don't come away with a victory in week five here and you drop to 1-4, it's no matter what happens from that point on, the noise from this fan base is going to be deafening after right. 5 weeks. And I don't know, frankly, if you can blame them.
You know, like Mike, living down here in South Florida, you know, and you can't help but hear what's going on with the Dolphins. I mean, every channel you turn on here is Philbin and Dolphins. And it's a lot of similarities there. You know, the Jags fans, I love Gus. I think he's a great person. You know, this is the business. The same thing that goes for the players when we're out there, you know, trying to make a living and trying to win games. You know, we're all held accountable. We're all held to a certain standard. And you don't want to – the owners, they have certain decisions to make. They, you know, Shad, I thought, came in making the tough decisions early on. With a decision with Mike Mularkey. So I know he's very capable of making those decisions because everybody is held to a high standard and, you know, the accountability level is so high. You don't want to sacrifice your fan base. You know, so it's either you make a tough decision or you lose fans, what are you going to do? But, you know, it's still fairly early. You let it play out because it could only get worse if you start entertaining the rumblings through the media this early in the season. I mean, it's not going to get any better if you call for the head coach to be fired right now.
Right. We're a quarter of the way through a 16-game season, so a lot of football remaining for this Jaguars team here in 2015. Fred, well done. We'll talk to you again this week before the Jags face the Buccaneers in Tampa.
Looking forward to it, JP.
There he is.
All right, Freddie.
Fred Taylor.
All right, Mike. It's been good, man. You guys enjoy your day.
Thank you. You too.
Go Jags, baby.
Hey, there he is. Always positive. Fred Taylor, proud of the Jaguars running back, joining us on the Jaguars postgame. So the Jags will face the Buccaneers Sunday at 1 o'clock down in Tampa, the third consecutive road game for the Jags. And a part of a lengthy stretch of a couple of months away from Everbank Field. They'll be back the week after that to face the Houston Texans and then go over to London at Wembley to face the Buffalo Bills. So the tough stretch continues for the Jags, and they've got to go down to Tampa next week and get something done. Well done in Jaguars postgame. If you want to chime in, should be an interesting scoreboard show tonight. 1-800-355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. To sound off about this game tonight, that's coming up on our flagship station, 1010 XL in Jacksonville. Dan Edwards is the VP of Communications, manager of radio Joe Fortunato, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato are producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, Mike Dempsey, and everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score, Jags fall in overtime, 16-13 to the Colts on the Jaguars Radio Network.